All right.
Purpose of the study is to look at the relationship between review attendance and practice difficulty. With exam performance, practice difficulty was a three-condition variable. Practice problems were either about the same difficulty, were easier, or were more difficult. And notice the way that they're coded. One is same, two is easier, three is difficult. The silly way to do it, but it draws attention to the fact that you have to pay attention. Different sections of the course were randomly assigned to receive the three difficulty levels. The schedule showed the class meeting during which the exam review would occur, and students' attendance was recorded. The dependent variable is performance on the exam. So, this is an ANOVA. Let's do an ANOVA. As an ANOVA, with one little bitty teeny difference. We're going to do all the same stuff we did with a factorial design in 942. We're going to put in our dependent variable by our two categorical variables. The by tells SPSS that what's going to follow are called fixed factors. Doesn't matter if you're thinking of them as IVs or what you're thinking of. What matters is that they're categorical. SPSS is going to take the higher coded group and turn it into comparison group. Everything else is going to get its turn as a dummy code target. And so the regression weight is going to compare yes to no. The two regression weights are going to compare easy to same and hard to same. Same coding we've used all along. Sum of squares type 3. Print descriptive so that we get all of the raw means. And then here's the thing that we weren't doing in 942. We asked for the regression parameters. Everything else is going to be the same, except we're going to get one extra table, and we want that table to make sense. We're still going to get the plot of the cell means, looking at the simple effect of attendance for each level of difficulty. We're going to get the cell means, looking at the simple effect of difficulty for each level of attendance. Same stuff, both sets of simple effect means, and all of the pairwise comparisons. We're going to get the main effect, simple effects, for difficulty, and we're going to get the main effect, simple effects, for attendance. And remember that this significance test is going to be redundant, but the only way to get those corrected marginal means is with this expected marginal mean statement. The design has got the two main effects, and we build the interaction term with that star. And most of this is going to look familiar. There's the two things we're most used to. And what we have to remember when we look at the descriptives is that those cell means are accurate and those marginal means are not. The marginal means are not what are being tested by these two F-tests. These two F-tests are testing the effect of these main effects controlling for everything else in the model. That is, adjusted marginal means, or what SPSS calls expected marginal means. And so you can't look at this and say, well, they're significantly different. There is a significant difference, but those are not the means being compared. The thing that's new is the regression weights. That intercept there is the expected value for the group coded 0, which is same, no. The people with the same difficulty and no attendance had a mean of 60. Everything else is going to tell us what happens as you move away from 60. This tells us that as you shift from being in the same no attendance to the easy no attendance, score goes up by 1.6. As you go by being in the same no attendance to the hard no attendance, performance goes down by 18. Now remember, these are not main effects, these are simple effects, specifically for not attending. This tells you that when you go from not attending easy, I'm sorry, not attending same to attending same, performance goes up by 20. We only have two interaction terms because we only have two degrees of freedom. The degrees of freedom for a factorial is the sum of, let's not do it that way, it's k minus 1 and j minus 1. So we got three groups in one, we got two groups in the other. On a good day. So this tells us if we stay in the no practice group, that as we shift, we get a different shift depending upon when we compare easy to same. The difference we get for attending is 37 less than the difference we get for not attending. When we shift from same to hard, the difference we get for attending is 19 more than we got for not attending. So this walks through all of those pieces, all of the math, and here it is, laid out in picture form. The same difficulty, no attendance, is 60. The regression weight for this effect tells us that for those who don't attend, when you shift from same to easier, performance goes up by 1.667. This regression weight tells us that if you stay in the not attended, as you shift from same to harder, performance goes down by 18. This regression weight tells us that if you stay with same difficulty, when you shift from not attending to attending, performance goes up by 20. The interaction regression weight tells you that the way to figure out the performance in that condition is to recognize that you've got this effect that's different by this amount. And the way to get to here is to recognize that you've got this effect that's different by this amount. Hey, buddy. So the really important part is to hang on to the idea that every regression weight means the same thing that it's always meant. A simple effect is what's the consequence of a one unit change when the other variable equals zero. An interaction is how does that simple effect change or differ between the group coded zero and the group coded one. The rest of this is the same old stuff. Make it bigger, same old stuff. We want to know what is the interaction pattern, and one way we can look at that is to look at the attendance effect three times, once for easier, once for harder, once for same. These means will be exactly the same means that we got in the descriptive, and then SPSS gives us lots of analyses of these cell means. It gives us simple effect F tests, easier, harder, same, that we have the simple effect in each. And then it does the pairwise comparisons to give us the complete look. In this case, the pairwise comparisons and the Fs are redundant because it's a two-group simple effect. So telling us that there's a difference between attend and not attend for easier. The simple effect difference is 17, which is statistically significant. If you calculate a T by taking the mean difference divided by the standard error, and you square that T, you will get that F. I have no idea why SPSS chose not to include the t-test. But a t-test is always an estimate over the standard error of the estimate. You can get that value if someone asks you for it. We can then look at the simple effects in the other direction. So same cell means, because the model hasn't changed. Now, however, the F-tests and the pairwise comparisons are not redundant because the F-tests are incomplete. You'll notice that these are 2 degrees of freedom F-tests. These are tests of 3 groups. And so when people did attend, is there a difference between same, easy, and hard? Yes, there is. What's the pattern of difference? This doesn't tell you. But this does. We come down here and we see that hard does better than easier. Same does better than easier. We come down here and we see that same and hard are equivalent. Shift to when there's no attendance and get the other simple effect pattern. Same stuff that we did before. There it is all laid out. We can then go after main effects. 2 important parts to remember. 1, this is the first time you have seen the marginal means that are tested by that main effect F test. Everything above is descriptive means based on uncorrected simple effects. This is the first time we've seen what's actually tested. This is the same F that you get up above. Because they're independent of each other, each one can be pulled out. And so this tells us that there is a difference between those people who did not attend did poorer than those people who did attend. But we have an interaction. So we want to make sure that we stop and check whether our interaction pattern makes our main effect pattern misleading. So overall, review did better than no review. If we come back up here, we see that we did not always get that pattern. For both harder and same, review did better than no review. But for easy practice, review did poorer than no review. So classic misleading main effect. You got to be careful when you go spouting this statement because it's misleading. Now again, it's been increasingly common advice that when you get an interaction to ignore main effects. I think the danger is that sometimes those main effects are descriptive and are part of the picture, and other times those main effects are not descriptive, and I think you should take charge of people's thinking about your results. I mean, this F-test is sitting up here. When you look at this F-test, all the way back up here, the very first output, you're going to publish that F information. And people are going to look at this, and they're going to say, there is a main effect for whether or not people attended the review. And I think that you need to take charge and make sure that they know that that is misleading. That it's only true for same and hard. It's not true for easy. Pay attention to the interaction pattern, because if you don't, they're not likely to. Yes, dear?
Yeah.
No, you hardly ever see those. I started doing that years ago just as a way of explicating exactly where each regression weight comes from. And if I'm talking to regression modelers, I will publish that. because regression modelers are much more comfortable with regression weights that represent continuous variables or two groups. But when you start getting into regression weights that capture categorical interaction patterns, that makes everybody's head hurt a little bit. And so I will show something like that as a way of tracking through exactly where, exactly what is the correspondence between the regression weights and the cell means. I don't know that I've ever seen it in a book. There still is such a disconnect between the ANOVA modelers and the regression modelers. And everybody says GLM, but they spend most of their time in working in particular research areas with particular designs, and a lot of people don't wander back and forth between these different models. That's why we collected them together into this module. So you can see it's all the same damn stuff.
So regression will give me the standardized unit standardized variable, one is the value of one variable and another, and the other one is the importance of the model.
Yeah.
But the GLM only gives me the intercept.
Yeah, it doesn't give you the beta weights. I don't know why, but in one of the early handouts, it does tell you how to calculate a beta weight from a B weight.
And you were talking about that. If you did it, would it be the same?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just they don't. I don't know why they don't, but they don't. Same reason they don't put the T value in. They give you the numerator and denominator and P value, but not the T value. I have no idea. If I were to guess, and I like to guess, because the social psychology of SPSS is one of my hobbies, I would say that what they're doing is they're responding to the alpha inflation argument. That if I give you 20 t-tests, you're going to start doing all these t-tests, and that's going to be alpha inflation. Somehow not presenting the t-test value, but using exactly the same p-value avoids alpha inflation. I don't know what the logic is. Or lack of logic. All right, last thing. Let's say that you needed those effect size for a meta-analysis or for an argument. Or you're just working with a group of people that are used to seeing things in the regression output. Why not? So let's do it ourselves instead of having SPSS do it. So for the practice variable, we're going to need two dummy codes because there's three. The first one is going to compare same with easier. The second is going to compare same with harder. We're only going to need one regression weight for comparing attend and didn't attend. And since we have two of these for one variable, and one for the other, we're going to need two interaction terms with each of the dummy code pair taking its turn interacted with the single dummy code for attendance. We got the same model. We got six conditions. You got five terms. We've made all of the terms. We put them all into a regression. We get an accounting for 70% of the variance, which is exactly the same thing that's up there. We get exactly the same model F test for the five-term model and exactly the same p-value. And we get exactly the same regression weights. It just looks a little different because it's not reminding us that this is 2 out of 3. It's not reminding us we got three groups in these two codes. Remember, up above, you've got one code, a second code, then a bunch of dots. It's not reminding us that this is 1 of 2, and it's not reminding us that this is 2 of 6. It just says, hey, here's your five terms. If you code it the same, all the results are the same. Now, I do not have this model in the plotting Excel program. Because nobody ever does that. You can get much better plots from SPSS in the Uninova. Just go over and click on plots and you can make yourself a real nice pretty graph putting whichever variable you want on the x-axis. You can split it between two different plots. You can put it together. You can control all the pretties. SPSS does a way better job than my Excel program. So don't use my Excel program for this. Although, if you really need to, when you got a 2x3, you can treat it as a k/q. Because the model doesn't know the difference between one variable or one code that's carrying a continuous and carrying a binary. And you get the same plot back. But it doesn't look very good. So I wouldn't.